Five. Hey guys, this is Scott with at Scott Pittity on Twitter, and this is the Scott Pittity podcast. Today I have with me Omar Kwazi, Kristen, and Nikola Tesla's ghost. And y'all can go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Boom. Right,
Hey.
I'm Omar Kwazi. No,
Yes.
I'm Nikola Tesla's ghost. My real name's Louis Coleman, at Nikola underscore truth.
This is Kristen under KristenNet10, K10 on Twitter.
All right, so I wanted to get it started off with talking about Nikolai, and it's been kind of an interesting couple weeks, and I would say it's a it was a dangerous thing for them to go IP because they were a pre-revenue company, and I think I would state that they went out to the public too soon, and the way they did it is this always questionable, and it's just everybody it kind of raises eyebrows, and I wanted to talk about how y'all feel about the short report from Hindenburg. Does it just it could there be some
Short,
dissonance?
short.
Could there be some? It wasn't a short report, and it was actually Nikolai's two responses don't even like round up to the character count of both of their responses. It's just kind of interesting, but anyways. My first question is on the Hindenburg report that they've said that they've I want to get to a point here. In October 2019, Nikola announced it would revolutionize the battery industry. This was done through a pending acquisition, but the deal fell apart when Nikola realized that the technology was vaporware. And the president of the battery company had indicted months earlier over allegations he conned the NSA, NASA, excuse me, by using his expense account to procure numerous prostitutes. Now,
Fucking
the
horse, Jesus.
yeah, the, but this is the thing that Nikolai has been saying, that they said they have battery technology or they have hydrogen technology, and now with the Badger, they're going to be using GM's technology that they've been developing, one of you said in the other podcast, for the past 30 years or something like that.
I think 50
Like,
actually.
yeah, for a long time. They were like the founders or
Jeez.
the
Yeah, well, why would y'all think that Nikolai would not try to use any of their hydrogen propulsion systems, or are they being vague in their media announcements? Like what, or are they just being vague? Like this is going to be a Nikola motor, but GM's going to help us build it, or is it going to be a GM hydrogen motor? Like that is my number one sticking point with the whole GM deal when they announced it, because I was thinking it was just going to be a like Magna. They produce cars. They're the person who infamously produced that tri-motor Tesla Model S. That was this. It was this. It wasn't a performance. It was just a new all-wheel drive system that they were trying to get. It was just trying to get customers or trying to get Tesla to get the so Tesla would use them to build their cars in Europe. But I don't think it really worked out that way. But I just find it interesting that they would say, "Hey, we have this interesting hydrogen tanks and stuff like that," but not. But we're going to not use it for our consumer facing vehicle. Like, what's y'all's thoughts on that?
So,
K10?
Scott, yeah, well, is this the first Scott Pittity
Yeah.
So this is, pretty great. Thanks for having us. We've got the whole world here,
Absolutely.
I think. We've got the UK, Louis representing. We've got you representing Virginia and the East Coast. And we've got me from California and K10 in Oregon. So this is really a good, meeting of the minds from around the world on Nikola.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, thanks for having us, man.
Yeah, I wanted to get it over with mainly. I wanted to be completely honest. I just wanted to get this whole Nikolai stuff over with, because I think it's a pre-revenue company that they could be making money with their solar stuff or anything like that, but it seems like they don't want to.
Well, here's the interesting thing about Nikola and the whole Hindenburg thing to me. You know, Hindenburg came out with this report, and for people who've been following Nikola, it wasn't really that surprising. I mean, this is kind of just what we've expected. And in many ways, the short report was just the tip of the iceberg. But what was interesting to me was how Tripper Milton comes out saying, oh my God, these guys are liars. This is total BS. I can't believe they would lie and do that to try and bring down the stock price. We're going to come out with a response in a few hours. And then it was, we're going to come out with a response later tonight. And then it was, we're going to come out with a response tomorrow. Then it was, okay, the response is coming next
week. Yeah.
Then when the response finally came, it basically said everything in the short report was true.
Yeah, and I do wonder if that was a blunder on. I do think they should have kept their mouth shut. I don't think they should have responded.
They definitely shouldn't have called the SEC.
Yeah,
yeah, that's strange.
The SEC doesn't. You don't call the SEC. The SEC calls you. That's all I'm going to say. I don't. I'm sorry. It's like I said in a tweet earlier. It's like Elon Musk says, "Suck my cock" to the SEC. Trevor says, "No, I want to suck your cock. Let me." Sorry, Kristen, but like that's really what that's really like what it was. It was really that like. I'm like, when he and my whole the whole thing, Nikolai wouldn't even be on my target, on my like, I would ignore it. Like, I was joking about like muting the whole word at one point in time because I was just like, I just don't care. But then he said, I'm gonna out Elon, and I was like, okay,
yeah, yeah,
I think you have to commit fraud to out Elon, like, yeah. This should be interesting. Like, how much of a stock pump are you going to do? But anyway,
yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, he's pumping himself up, saying he's doing these amazing things. That's how he's got his stock to shoot up so high. But it's also brought all the like scrutiny of being a public company. If he just kept his head down low, maybe he could have scammed a few more investors, got along. But I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not saying limit your media. I'm saying don't get on it. Don't rebuttal or don't like talk to trolls on the internet. I'm sorry. Like Elon Musk ignores a lot of people that are pro him, and because he gets so many notifications, possibly. But it's like. And I'm sure Elon Musk sees some of the tweets and he chooses not to respond to them because it may be kind of controversial to respond to. It's just like, oh, I might not want to say that because that might be like internal discussions between me and Tesla board members or what our future products might be like. But Trevor seems like he's very open to share that and to share. And if I was a board member, I would be kind of like, oh, can you please just shut up and let us talk first? And then you can say whatever we come to agreement on. We're not trying to give you a script. We're just trying to come to an agreement. Because I don't feel like Elon Musk says something off the cuff. Like, I really, if you think his tweets are off the cuff.
He says a few things off the cuff, certainly.
But if you think he's... He thinks stuff out. I don't think Trevor does the same thing. But
I'm having a few flashbacks to 420 funding secures.
Yeah, that was a bit lucid. I would have to say that Elon's definitely put thought into things before he stated them, because he's definitely weighing it to most degrees. But I don't think Trevor did.
Yeah. No. And Kaiten, what do you think about the short report?
Well, I think it was timely planned. And I'm surprised just to see how many people have been following this company and have been gathering information. And it's just, it was the perfect timing to display what was going on. I am surprised that Trevor did as what Omar had stated, that he just basically, I mean, laid down and took it and just said, that's what it is. And I'm like, wow.
Yeah, well, you know, it's kind of funny because a lot of people are just like, why are we talking about this company when there are so many real EV companies? But it's just so entertaining. And it's not really the company that's entertaining. It's just Trevor. Trevor is just so out there. And he's just talking all the time. And it's funny because when me and Kristen went to Nikola, we never saw Mark Russell. You know, he was in the office that day somewhere.
I would like to talk to him. That's the one guy, yeah, Mark Russell. I mean, that's the one person I would want to talk to. I'm sorry.
I mean, he's a lot CEO more time. Of the company.
Right.
But you never hear about him. It's just all the Trevor show, you know? And he's really the one who's caused all these problems. If you listen to Mark Russell speak, he's honest. You know, he goes, right, hey, you know, we're at a prototype stage. We're an integrator, right? He gives these plausible arguments that make sense.
Yeah.
But what Trevor says just defies belief.
Yeah. Elon is way ahead in his thought processes and his executions. Like, he's not just saying it, he's going to execute if he already hasn't. And I don't think Trevor plays like that. You can't talk like Elon. It's just not the same.
Like it's Elon's mouth is struggling to keep up with his brain, and Trevor's brain is struggling to keep up with his mouth.
Oh boy.
that's a good analogy. That's a good analogy, because it's like, yeah, but that's a really good analogy. But another question I had was, do you think, I saw a tweet recently where, do you think the thinking behind Nikolai becoming public, they saw the Robin Hood investors? Do y'all really think Robin Hood, really, people who use Robin Hood, do you really think they just jump on a stock that's brand new, and they, do you really think they're affecting the market that much that, like, that it would, like snow today, it IPO'd this morning, and it was halted for high volatility, and it went from, it was going to IPO at 1:30, and then it went all the way up to 2:30 within its first couple hours of trading. Like, that was ridiculous in its own right. Like,
I'm pretty sure it started there. Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, it might have started there.
But as soon as the market hours came up, it shot up because all of the like fund guys, right? Like, you know, the fund manager, they already got in early. I think that's what happened. I might be wrong.
Yeah, but do y'all think Robinhood people, who users who use Robinhood, affect the market that much when people, like, they're willing to bait their stock or their company to a Robinhood investor, independent investor, not someone who's a hedge fund or has millions of dollars? They might be buying a fractional share, or they might be just buying one share. Do you think Nikolai was one of those companies that said, hey, there's these group of investors who are new to the market, and they're willing to jump on anything that could be Tesla-like and have the up, like Nikolai could be a very successful company, to their UTVs, to their side bus, to their boats, to the trucks, to the Badger. But I just don't see it. I feel like they hyped it up way too soon when they should have said, here's our semi truck, here's our dump truck, and here's a couple little toys that we might do to get more funding for our bigger projects. Instead of saying, here's a Badger truck that's going to have 600 miles of range. Like, was it here's a new shiny thing, and new investors invest in this?
I think the only reason for Nikola to IPO is to get cash. I think Nikola was like very low on cash.
Right.
And perhaps like banks didn't want to give them any, or something went wrong, or
they had the PPP loan right before. So they said they were gonna lay off workers if, you know, they didn't get more money.
Yeah, yeah, that is right.
And they have,
I mean, that was ridiculous though.
How many workers do you all think they have?
He stayed at 300.
I think it's 400 now. I might be wrong, probably 400. I'm pretty sure.
He was stating at the headquarters he needs to hire more, is what he was saying.
I don't know what he'd need to hire more for. I don't really do a lot.
To break the ground.
More Photoshop artists and PR people.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe a better PR person.
Another pinball guy, perhaps.
The best PR person in the world couldn't polish this turd.
No. I don't think it could, because it's almost depressing, because it could be a great company. If he didn't say, oh, we're gonna produce hydrogen from water and separate it at site at the fueling station, and it's gonna be cheap, and you're gonna buy it, and blah blah blah. When you buy the truck, you buy the fuel. That would have been great, but
Even like, if it's legit, hydrogen is still uneconomical. Like, if you look at it, the 80 kilogram tank, even at $2 per kilogram, that's $160. Whereas the Tesla, like 7 cents per kilowatt hour, that's going to be like $70 or less, probably.
Yeah, electrolysis is not.
Because it's a slightly smaller battery.
Cost effective.
It's not at all.
Yeah, I think Louis totally hit the nail on the head there, because really what this is a story about hydrogen. And Trevor came from natural gas, and they decided they were going to do a natural gas and a hydrogen truck, and then they shifted to just hydrogen. So that's really where it comes from. The story is that they have some kind of breakthrough that really reduces hydrogen costs and really makes hydrogen viable for the first time. But the reality is, there is no breakthrough.
The only reason they went to hydrogen is that the natural gas supply or whatever just dropped them.
Right.
So they couldn't do natural gas. They needed something else.
Exactly. And now they've kind of tried to pivot more to BEV trucks. Right. But it's just kind of like, is that going to be a good BEV truck? No. And they're still so focused on the hydrogen business, trying to sell that. Mm-hmm. And when you look into it, it just makes no sense. No financial sense, no business sense. It's just almost certainly going to fail. And they have no technology that would allow them to do it better than anyone else if it was viable.
It's just physics.
I think it's interesting that Jeffrey Ubben was the one that stated, he's the one that pushed them to IPO early. And I think 2020 is unprecedented the way we're watching the stock market. And I think Robinhood is, like they're saying, it's a bunch of younger investors. So it sounds like they just kind of were looking for the naive to jump in on with them on it. And they're pushing for the EV community to be part of it.
I mean, Trevor literally said Badger is for Robinhood investors to pile on.
Yeah. Jeff Ubben has said that too on CNBC. They've said this a lot, retail play, Robinhood. And just going back to that Robinhood question, I mean, I think it's kind of a joke to some extent. Like, you know, everyone's always talking about the Robinhood traders, like, oh, the Robinhood traders. Really, you know, these Robinhood traders do not have a lot of money. They're a small part of the overall market. But in this low interest rate environment, you do have a lot of people just day trading. It's become like sports. And even if you're not, you know, even if retail investors are small, other people know that they can potentially make money off the backs of these retail traders who are going to be interested in this name, that they can sell them this stuff. Right. I mean, Nikola was running out of money and Jeff Ubben said, hey, wow, look at this. We could SPAC this. I could take my stake, sell it to nobody in particular, right? Just a bunch of retail holders. They'll each lose a few, you know, $1,000 or so, but I get back my, you know, multi-million dollar investment.
I've said this before, and this doesn't really compare to Nikolai and their business model and what they're doing with Robinhood, but it's like, if I'm an auto executive or a tech executive or a startup executive that's going to be doing EVs, and I want my stock performance to perform like Tesla, or I want the enthusiasm of the customer base and the curious base who say, I want one, but I can't afford one, or I want one, but I just don't want to spend the money on it now. I don't think anybody's going to capture the market like Tesla did, because of the controversy. Even if you take Elon Musk away from it, it's a controversial thing. The thing drives itself sometimes. Mm-hmm. It has, just trying to compare it, trying to say, I want my company to be in the same league as Tesla. Tesla is its own thing. Just trying to play catch up with Tesla is a dangerous game. I don't recommend Ford, GM, or Toyota to do it. I think Toyota is probably doing the best thing that they know how to do, is do a couple green vehicles and possibly a hydrogen vehicle, and sell a little bit of them and make a little bit of money. But don't make a big hubbub and try to go after Tesla. I think that's
totally right. You know, Tesla was like a lightning strike situation. I mean, nobody has started a new car company in 100 years. It's just the worst business. It's extremely capital intensive. It's extremely cyclical. It's just a really terrible business for a startup to get into, to compete against these massive companies with huge economies of scale. And Tesla almost died many times.
Right.
But now that they've succeeded, everyone seems to kind of think it's easy. Oh, well, Tesla started a car company. Why can't, Trevor Milton do it?
Yeah. It's like the next market bubble.
Definitely. Yeah, and maybe. I would even say, Scott, you were stating that Toyota with the hydrogen car. I mean, even Trevor, though, was stating that it's just not efficient cost-wise to do a hydrogen car. I just don't think, I know Toyota's camping on it, and they're even thinking of bringing over, the blue hydrogen that's going to be mined out of the coal from Australia, but it just seems like this thing that drags on and it's not going to go anywhere. And then you look at the ties with British Petroleum just trying to revive this and keep this industry going, and it's not going anywhere.
I feel like the oil industry is trying to say, not the Exxons, not the big American ones. I feel like the British ones, the smaller oil companies are starting to realize we need to go green. Hydrogen seems like the easiest way for us to go green. Let's do it. And there might be some military stuff that would be great for, like, if you somebody posted that GM video, I think it was on Whole Mars, where they posted a video of GM testing their hydrogen tech on a military field, military base, and they were saying that, like, literally there was no heat signature coming off the vehicle. There might be some tech for hydrogen in the battlefield, but not or in like freight or something else or trains,
ships,
but,
perhaps.
Ships maybe, but the problem is, where do you really get the fuel? It's really tough, and I think hydrogen is ultimately a distraction away from what is really the solution, which is we need better batteries.
True.
And I think during battery day, hydrogen's already a joke. I always say hydrogen cars are for morons. And even Trevor Milton agrees with me on that. But I think on battery day next week, September 22nd, we're really going to see the economics of hydrogen just destroyed. A lot of people, and I think the oil and gas industry, they want hydrogen. It's like the last hope that their business could survive is that.
Well, it's pretty much the fossil fuel for them.
It is a fossil fuel, and most commonly it's made through natural gas steam reformation. So it's made in the process of drilling for fossil fuels. And that's why they really like it, is, hey, here's a zero emissions option, which preserves our existing business. But at the end of the day, the technology just isn't competitive. Some people want it to be true. Some people want it to work, but batteries just have a lot of advantages.
Yeah, and it's like what ARK Invest said about the cost decline curves, the energy density curves and all that. For batteries, it's just so much more than hydrogen, which pretty much means the longer you wait, the fewer cases where hydrogen's better. And now I think after battery day, we're going to realize hydrogen's better in like zero commercial cases.
Yeah.
Possibly.
I think you really have to ask, GM has had this hydrogen technology for 50 years. Why did they never bring a product to market?
Right? That is like, fascinating.
Okay, you got some cool demo for the military. You never brought this to market. Your last press release on this is 2017. All GM's zero emissions products are EV. So where did this hydrogen stuff come from? It seems like they really dusted it off the product to give to Nikola, which means that Nikola's hydrogen technology was even worse than this 50-year-old GM stuff.
Does it even exist? I mean, that is my question. K10 left again, but she got booted off again. She might have to rejoin us. Rejoin.
Oh, dear.
There she is.
But anyways, I do worry about young investors I'm 30 years old. I'm the only real stock that I've done is Uber, which we all know the story about Uber, Lyft, and Apple, and then Tesla. The first two companies listed, I don't believe in their business models. I feel like a high schooler could have coded their app and it would have been a multi-million dollar company if a kid from Chicago did it.
Well, you know, a lot of people have lost a lot of money on a lot of different stocks. So hopefully for the young people who believe what Trevor says without thinking about it, this will help teach them an important lesson about investing. And hopefully this information and other people's information will help them get out before it's too late.
I mean, you need to look at who you're investing in and what they've proven before. And if you actually believe in the product and would want it really yourself, that's a big thing.
Mm-hmm. It's like I looked into ARK Invest for, I think, 4 months before I actually bought one of their stocks. Like, I was like, she sounds great, and Trisha and Kathy sound great, and then Sam sounds great, and then I started looking at everybody. I can't remember everything that they invest in, but they're the 3D printing that they invest in, everything that they invest in is going to innovate to a scale that in the short term, it's not even worth looking at the stock. It's worth just saying, I'm going to buy into these ETFs and ignore it. And now it does kind of blow me sideways that the ARK autonomous ETF isn't higher, but it seems like it's leveling out at $55, but like, I'm just like, I'm surprised there isn't more value into that part of ARK, but I feel
it's interesting. Some early stage investors say, when you're looking at a company at an early stage like Nikola, you're really investing in the people more than the company, right? Because the products are the products. Products can change. You know, you don't really know. You're really investing in the people. And I think that's true of ARK or funds or, you know, any company like Apple or Nikola or Tesla.
Yeah, and Tesla has a solid team when it started. I mean, the people... I mean, Elon has proven himself before in his other investments and his endeavors. Trevor, not so much.
Yeah, two bankruptcies, Trevor.
Yeah.
That's what he had before Nikola.
Yeah, hey, UPillar could have been Amazon.
Sears could have been Amazon.
Sure.
It actually sounded like a pretty interesting website. I do wonder if it just failed because of foot traffic. I feel like Amazon... If you try to copy what Amazon and Facebook doing in their marketplaces, you're going up a brick wall. Like, there's only a few apps that actually sell, like you can sign up and you can sell your items on, like Etsy, Mercari, and Facebook and Amazon. And there's probably many, many more. But
eBay.
Only, yeah, eBay.
Yeah, eBay.
But But eBay's almost like, it is kind of funny how they almost kind of disappeared when you think about Amazon now. You're yes. like, Amazon's such a behemoth that it's almost scary. But anyways, we're getting a little bit off topic there. But on Nikola, do you ever see them just going full EV? Do you just say, do you just see them saying, you know what, this hydrogen business, it might be good for like boats or military stuff or something different, or energy or something like that, just but not for consumer facing products?
I mean, I think they have to, you know, they don't have a choice, right? You look at what they're saying. They're saying late 2023 we're going to ship our first hydrogen products. Okay, so let's not even add in the margin of error, which will probably put them into, you know, 2024 at the earliest, right? This is 4 years from now, right? We're talking about another presidential election from now, okay? Mm-hmm. For people who are in the U.S. And, I mean, they say they're going to put out a battery electric product first. Just imagine the cost declines and tech improvements in batteries over the next 4 years. The best thing they could possibly do is just not invest anything in this hydrogen technology at all. Because it seems like in 4 years, when they're ready to launch, they're going to have wasted a tremendous amount of money on a technology that's just not competitive with what a battery electric truck can do. So the only real part of the business that could potentially have a future, I think, is the battery electric part. But the strange thing is, even though they're only shipping battery electric products for the next 4 years, they're constantly talking up hydrogen and putting down battery electric in a way that kind of hurts the EV movement to some extent. So it seems like they're really shooting themselves in the foot.
And even Trevor, I don't know, I don't want to misquote him, but I do feel like he kind of dissed the Tesla Semi, and that's a sore subject with me, because I feel like it was unveiled way too soon, or it got delayed, and it doesn't really feel like a delay, but it's like we don't have a lot of information on it. And then when he went on that and said, oh, Tesla's not going to do the right cost, and then Bill Gates said it's going to be super, super expensive. It got really frustrating, because I was like, what's going on here? And then Elon Musk says he has no clue. These people have no clue. They don't know what our internal discussions are or our internal plans are.
Billy Gates is not his lover.
Yeah. It is a sore subject with me on the Tesla Semi, because I feel like it's probably the most important product that Tesla could introduce into the market. That is a vehicle. It's going to be 80 times safer. It's going to be, and then you add autopilot or FSD, it's going to be 100 times safer
and highly efficient.
And then the crash testing and everything like that, it's just going to be safer. I just feel like in the long term, and when people go after it, I'm just like, y'all don't see the positives. It is kind of neglect. It feels bad. I don't know how to explain it fairly.
Yeah, but Trevor's like saying the Tesla Semi is shit and all that is, but they're always false assumptions. They're saying, oh no, electricity can't cost 7 cents per kilowatt hour. It costs like 50 kilowatt hour. That's that, oh yeah, 50.
He goes, our
that's
cost
a lie.
Is 2 cents, and
it's
their cost
on
is
Tesla's
50.
Website.
Yeah,
exactly. That's just complete bollocks. Or like the have to like redo the battery every 3 years. That's just a fucking lie.
Right.
And if you've got a business model built on false assumptions, you're fucked.
Well, he's going to have to rework that business model, because his whole board is like Hanwha, it's Jeffrey Ubin, and they're all for hydrogen. So that'll all shake down if he just goes EVs.
Yeah. I mean, he's put himself in a corner now. He's got to do his hydrogen, because that's his competitive advantage, except no, it isn't. And now he's like, it's just got another non-Tesla BEV.
Right.
It's just not as good.
Right.
Now, what do y'all think of the looks of the Badger? Like, do y'all
yeah, it's all right.
I mean, it's pretty normal. I mean, it
looks fine for a Photoshop, you know. Yeah. Oh, anyone can make a good car in Photoshop. Like,
I honestly thought it was seeing
the car in person where you judge whether it really looks good or not.
Right.
It does look like, and now that they've partnered with GM, if you look at the GM Sahara that's on the market now and the Chevy, if you look at the rear portion, the Chevy Silverado, if you look at the rear part of the cab, it's very similar to what the Badger's rendered as. It's almost kind of shocking how similar it is. Like, when you overlay a Chevy or GMC product over the Badger, it's pretty similar. So I'm surprised I even missed that, because like I'm a truck person. I drive a small Toyota, but I'm actually a big truck person. That's why I'm stuck on the Cybertruck. Like, I'm very I feel like we've talked enough about Nikolai. I want to talk a little bit more about Tesla and Elon Musk and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Let's start with Kristen. What's your favorite thing recently that the rumor, story, anything that you've read on Tesla, research you've seen, anything like that?
What's my favorite? I think the thing that is innovative, and that is, I mean, Tesla's always innovating, but the biggest thing that I think we're going to see is the utilities and the grid work. And I know that the whole Mars blog has been pushing a lot about that, but I think that's huge. And mm-hmm. I think we're going to see a whole lot more of that. We've all been focusing mostly on the auto and the cars and the gigafactories, but the utilities and the grid, I think, is going to be really big.
Yeah.
All right. Omar?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of really exciting stuff going on. I think really Tesla's plan to scale battery manufacturing is really at the center of a lot of these issues, hydrogen versus battery and all this stuff. So just really excited to see what they announce at Battery Day.
Yeah.
Louis?
Yeah, okay. I'm after the autonomy sort of stuff. I think that's going to be amazing. Yeah. I mean, I have a driver's license. I spent like a few grand on it.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm going to uni. I won't need a car. I reckon by the time I'm out, I won't have a drive. And I'm happy.
Hey. That's funny, yeah. And the other thing I really like about
my generation is the last.
Yeah, you're probably right.
My generation probably the last to ever learn to drive. You won't need to.
Yeah, that's so true. Kids these days probably won't realize it. And the other really great thing about autonomy is it's going to make EVs basically cost nothing. Anyone who wants one will be able to have one and have it go out and work for them, do energy trading with the grid, or just be able to pay, you know, what they can afford or what they need to get a ride from someone else's car. So, I mean, if you think about it, there's no real way to transition all the cars in the world to electric in any reasonable time frame. It's going to take decades. But what you can do is get everyone to ride in electric cars and park the polluting cars at home and just use electric cars for most of the time.
Right.
Yeah, because, I mean, people don't really think about it this way, but reducing pollution is not done by, like, making, like, tons and tons of electric cars. What you've got to do, actually, is get rid of the internal combustion driving miles.
Right.
And the way you do that is with like highly used electric vehicles, preferably on solar and battery microgrids.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the batteries have to last a long time. And another part of it is just, you know, I think it's interesting what you've started to see in London with congestion charges. And even, I'm not that familiar with it, but isn't there something where there's less congestion charge or something for a zero emissions vehicle or something like that?
Yeah, they have stuff like that. They've also got the ultra low emission zones where basically like super like efficient hybrids and electric cars can go in them, and like mass transit stuff like buses and that.
Yeah.
We need to get the black cabs retrofitted with EV tech.
I think that'd be pretty cool. I don't know how relevant it would be after autonomy, but pretty cool.
I think they actually are. Geely owns the black cab company that builds them. and they
I think that's right.
And I think they've converted a lot of them to EV, and that's actually something I actually wanted to talk to you all about. On the Black Cab, they have a turning radius where basically the front wheels can turn basically sideways, could you all see a time where Tesla creates a front turning radius where the wheels turn more dramatically so they can maneuver in a tighter situation autonomously? And so could y'all see a fundamental reworking of the suspension of a Tesla where it's turning tighter, it has four steering steering? I feel like that's the robo-taxi future is going to change automobiles forever. Like the technology, yeah. Not this mm-hmm. the autonomy part, but the actual physical hardware is going to yeah. radically change.
Right.
Because
I think we could see that on the Model. On the Model 2, I think we might mm-hmm. hopefully get that. Because if that is to be a city car, you do want a high turning radius. I think that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I think it's going to change every aspect of the vehicle from the interior to the exterior. I mean, it's just going to be completely just a playground of vehicle design on what you do in the interior. I think you're going to have cars that can drive forward or backwards with no real distinction on which side is the front, and just all kinds of crazy stuff. It just changes everything when you have a car that's autonomous.
That's something that I've always wondered, because I've never really gotten to drive a Tesla like crazy and just do a lot of crazy stuff because it's somebody else's car and I don't want to destroy it. Like the only time I got to really like drive it really, really hard was on a country road, and like he the owner got out of the car and said, "You can go have fun. You're scaring the crap out of me. I'm going to go sit on the side of the road."
That's pretty sweet.
But like he's like, so he got out of the car and I drove back and forth pretty hard, and I was impressed. But I forgot where I was going with this. Hold on.
We're talking about autonomous design.
Do y'all feel like it would just be like, I've always wondered this, how fast could a Tesla go in reverse? And if let's say in the Boring Company tunnels, some of the cars could just drive in reverse. Like the seating position could literally be 100% different. Mm-hmm. Like you don't, driving forward in reverse in autonomous lanes and autonomous roadways is completely different. It's not forward and backwards is not important. It's only the direction you're going. You could literally have an autonomous Tesla shoot you back in so-called reverse.
Well, an electric motor has no difference between forward and reverse, so it could go backwards just as fast.
Theoretical thing is the drag coefficient. I mean, mm-hmm. it's easier to go forward because that's how the car's designed. But if you did design a car to be same front and back, mm-hmm. there would be no difference on an electric car. They do limit it for software, but that's just a software limitation. They could get rid of that like tomorrow.
Exactly.
And you just go backwards 100 miles an hour.
And there's other little details, like the car has a forward radar, so you need to put a forward and back radar. Right. And you'd want to have all the cameras set up. There's three cameras in the front, so you'd want to have three cameras in the back too. But I think that it will be done eventually, just because it would make the car so much more versatile, right? Imagine if instead of having to, you know, pull out forward in a tight, you know, city situation, you could just go forwards or backwards. Instead of making a U-turn, you can just start driving backwards.
Yeah, because when autonomous vehicles are prominent, not just even Tesla, there could be roadways where you're not allowed to manually control your car because there's no direction of traffic. The autonomous vehicles are like, if you ever watch a traffic intersection of India where they just flood into the intersection and they just get through, like that could be a time it could be a time when autonomous vehicles are basically doing that. Like I wouldn't want to try to do it on autopilot right now. I mean, it might, it would probably just freak out and shut down. But it's going to be an interesting world when there's roadways that are made for autonomous vehicles or designated for just autonomous usage. There isn't going to be a certain direction like that they are limited to going. It's going to be frontwards, right, sidewards, sideways. It's really going to change everything. Like, go ahead, Chris.
It reminds me of the Amazon bots, the ones that are shipping the packages. Have you guys seen those in the videos?
Yeah.
Where they move around and they the algorithms of them perfectly interacting.
Yeah, it's like I think Domino's and several other companies. There's a company that is developing Kroger's partnered with them. It's called Nenito or something like that. It's basically a little autonomous cab that has obviously a LiDAR on top, and it has shelving where you put your groceries in it, and it drives around on what some would say a predetermined track, but it's still using that LiDAR to be aware. But I can't wait to see a Tesla product where there's no driver's seat. I'm going to move things from one thing to the other. I feel like it's kind of a gimmicky product, but I don't think Tesla would say we could do this, but I feel like they should. They should say, here's a product where it could deliver a pizza with no human driver and no risk to a human inside the vehicle. It's designed to crumple and protect the human outside of it or another vehicle. With Tesla's engineering and everything like that, an autonomous car that is not made for humans but things is going to be wild also.
Current Teslas are passenger vehicles. That's what they're designed for. I don't think they're really that practical for long-term autonomy. I mean, if you have an autonomous car with passengers, you want it to be like just either a place to relax or have fun. If you want it to be for commercial uses, you want it to be maybe just like a bunch of lockers on wheels where someone puts a like Amazon parcel in there, and then it goes to your house and stuff like that. But I think Tesla's going to have to, or will, they probably won't have to, but they will redesign their interiors massively or just come out with new vehicles.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or just a certain sector of them, for sure.
Yeah, because like Chevy and GM has their work truck line where it's like work vans, and then it's just a chassis
or the Ford Ranger.
Where you just strap your body onto it. It's just a skateboard with the motor and transmission and the driver position. That's usually like GM or Ford sells like a literal, you can buy the frame and engine and then put your own body on it from the website.
I think there's definitely a balance to strike. You know, you've seen GM's cruise car, right? Yeah. Which is kind of like what we talked. It's kind of forwards and backwards. It's
the most fugly thing.
Yeah. But, you know, in terms of some of the principles we've been talking about, you know, forward and backwards, just kind of an open, you know, spacious interior, they kind of have the right idea. But at the same time, autonomy isn't ready. So there's nothing to actually do with this product, right? And I think you're not going to see it on the road for a while for that reason. So it's very much a transitional thing. You know, the products that Tesla is making today need to be autonomous. And you've seen, you know, some of that in the design with the center touchscreen and all that. But they also just need to be cars, because realistically, we're going to be driving them right now. And over the next couple of years, what we're going to see is this intermediate phase where the human and the computer are driving together. The car can't do everything itself, but the human doesn't have to do everything themselves. And we're going to, you know, it's not going to be some kind of giant leap. We're going to move down that transition gradually. And I think vehicle design will evolve gradually too as the software gets better.
So it's going to be a symbiosis. We'll definitely see it coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to speculate that the Model Y platform was a work van platform. And my I was kind of saying that without thinking about Elon Musk and his ingenuity, and that full casting machine, or the casting machine that they're going to be using with the Y. I think they're going to be basically like they're die casting the rear body part of the car right now, but one day they could be die casting the whole damn thing. It's going to be, and then they can then to move to a different class of vehicles, they might have to build a new casting machine, but it's going to be so easy to do so because they already have the plan for this casting machine. So the next one, the Cybertruck one, let's just see if we can do whatever they're going to do with the Cybertruck. It's going to be 90% robotic. I think the only thing that's going to probably need humans is the wiring harness, and that's it. Like it's going to be the Cybertruck production is going to be probably the alien dreadnought that Elon Musk wants. I may be very, very, very wrong, but I do feel like the Cybertruck is going to be that vehicle that's basically built with limited human interaction. It might be bolting seats down, doing the dashboard, stuff like that, that you already kind of see humans do with Teslas already, but it's going to be even less. Tightening bolts and stuff like that, robots aren't that great at. What do y'all think about the Cybertruck? Because we're literally a year away from production. What do y'all think? Is it going to be delayed at all? Is it going to be on time?
No, it's just on time.
It's on time.
Giga Texas is flying.
It's like when you look at the, like, you go, you're going to build a factory in a year and you're going to have Cybertrucks coming off of it. If GM, if anybody else said that, I would be like, I don't think so. But like, I'm like, I don't see how it's possible, but I'm not going to say it's impossible because,
never say it's impossible. Never.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm really interested to see what they're doing in Berlin. I think what they're doing in Berlin is really interesting. And if you're interested in what Tesla's doing with manufacturing, that's one area to really follow. The Cybertruck is really kind of the autonomous utility platform. This really, you know, tough vehicle that you can get beat up, that you don't really have to worry about. That is probably going to ship with some pretty mature autonomy software. And it's really easy to manufacture. It doesn't need a paint job, doesn't need a lot of stamping. It seems like it should be easy to really mass manufacture, except for the fact that no one's ever done an exoskeleton before. So hopefully that goes well, but there's a lot of benefits to it, for trying it out.
Except for planes. Planes have been exoskeleton.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, I meant for, passenger vehicles,
but at mass scale. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's where are really going to build all the kind of autonomous, you know, utility things. Like how Louis was talking about just a bunch of lockers or whatever. I think the Cybertruck will really be a platform to build a lot of those kind of ideas initially.
Mm-hmm.
So exciting. Yeah. And the new batteries in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we have to find out how they hit that 500 mile range. Everyone's wondering.
And that's the thing. Like this is the reason why I got the dual motor, is because on the disclaimer on the Tesla website, it says 300 plus miles. And, you know, we all know how they up the mile. They've on the Model 3 and on the Model Y, they've upped the range. I feel like we don't know what the battery tech's going to be in the Cybertruck. It could be even more advanced in what they're going to unveil on Battery Day.
Sounds like we might find out next week.
On Twitter, I tell people, stop speculating on Battery Day. I feel like you're going to ruin it for yourself, or you're all wrong.
I've been avoiding it entirely. I want to be surprised.
But it's interesting because it's like,
because Elon teases a little bit and then he goes, no, that's not it. Like, that's what I do like about Elon. He's like, no, like, I've never heard of this company before. Like, it is interesting. Like, and like the back onto the Cybertruck, it seemed like he didn't know that Mattel was going to make a remote control Cybertruck. And when that video popped up on the internet, he was like, wow, we're doing this? What? Cool. And I was like, really? Nobody told you we're making a RC version of this? But anyways.
Which they should make more.
Yes, they should make more of those. Aren't they shipping to people now, I think?
Yeah, and they're reselling on eBay for really high value.
Oh, that's depressing. But I saw people bugging us about on the Whole Mars blog Twitter account about Hardware 4, and I wanted to reiterate this. Like, I try to say it when people talk about computers and upgrades and whatever. It's like when the iPhone 12 comes out, they're already working on the i13 or the next chip. Computer chips advance to a point now where average consumers or small vendors or somebody, a small company, can't even keep up with the advancements of the printing tech. So waiting for Hardware 4 or wanting Hardware 4 to in your car, or already thinking about Hardware 4 Tesla products, is kind of ludicrous, because it's like you won't even, your car will probably be level 5 autonomous by the time it comes out, or pretty damn close. And it's just going to be such a radical improvement that a normal consumer shouldn't be able to be focusing on that. What do y'all feel like about that?
Yeah, well, I feel like waiting for a Tesla to have like the latest like hardware or the latest like bit of I don't know, motor or whatever, it's kind of pointless. I mean, any time you buy a Tesla, you're right. Like a month later you would have got better hardware. Anytime. Right. So you should buy it when you want it, and then when you want your next one, it'll be so much better.
Exactly. Or just be happy with the software updates. And if you have an issue, bug Tesla service until it's fixed. Like it's like when I see people complaining about service issues, I'm like, I live in a state where there's basically no service centers, and none of the Tesla owners complain about service issues. None, absolutely zero. And like, or they're all smart enough to figure out that their 12-volt battery might die. Like, it's like,
well, the lucky thing is the cars don't need that much service. So,
But you know, a lot of people.
And Elon bridged that 12-volt battery. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, that was good that he replied to that thing about the 12-volt battery. That's kind of like the major annoyance, and any improvements there would be good. Hopefully, there's some more on battery day. But
yeah, Elon Musk needs to kill the 12-volt battery.
I think a lot of people think that hardware is what's needed to get us to autonomy, but that's not the issue at all. The hardware we have now is still good. Like, you see Teslas from 2016 running the latest traffic light software, right? Because they just upgraded them. So the hardware isn't really the issue. It's really a software problem. And Hardware 3 was a big change because it had a Tesla neural net accelerator for the first time. But Hardware 4, the next generation hardware that they talked about on Autonomy Day, isn't going to be that big of a change. It's like, you know, getting an iPhone, you know, 15 versus 14, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be faster. It's going to be better. But, you know, that's not why you're buying the iPhone.
Mm-hmm. It's like the S generation of iPhones. It's like, why?
Right.
It's like, why? Like, I actually upgrade on the S. Iterations. I think that's kind of weird of me. It's like I wait till the S version and then upgrade. I know that sounds weird, but that's the version I wait for. I don't, when they do the iPhone 11 and then they did, or the iPhone 10 and then they did the iPhone 10 S or whatever they did, that's what I upgraded at. But it's
go ahead, Kate. Go ahead.
No, go
No,
ahead.
they're retrofitting the cars, so it's not like it's a problem. You can get the car retrofitted with the newest hardware.
Yeah, that and that but wanting, I feel like your hardware 3 is going to be capable of a lot, and say, no, I need this new thing. I don't think consumers should be worried about it. I just or they sh if they should at least be charged something for it, because it's going to be such an advancement that it's going to be I don't think the average consumer can fathom it, or the average person on Twitter can fathom it. I barely understand computing power, and the FSD chip that they have now is beyond anything on the market. There's nothing really comparable. But
Yeah,
what
no, exactly.
and on future models of Teslas, we all people refer it to the Model 2 or Model C like I do. And why do y'all think people are so interested in that vehicle? Is it because of the possibility of the price point, or is it
Yeah, I
just
think that's it.
because, or is it just because it's a new product? Or
I think it's because cheaper price means a lot more people can get into it. I mean, take me for example. I'd love to have a Tesla. I can't afford it. I'll probably not be able to afford it for a long time. If there was like a, well, maybe not a 25 grand, but like something cheaper, I'd gladly get it. And there's a
And
lot of
that's what
people can
Elon
be like
mentioned
that.
too.
Yeah, because there's obviously the Tesla stretch, where people who buy like 15 grand cars will get a Tesla. But if imagine there's a Tesla stretch for now, a 25 or $20,000 car, that's gonna be people buying like secondhand crap are gonna get a Tesla.
Yeah,
That's a lot of people.
and I've been looking at the Renault. I'm gonna pronounce it wrong. The
Renault.
Renault, yeah, the little hatchback EV that they have on CarWow. They've done two compact EV reviews, and when you look at it overall, you see why people are buying those vehicles. And when you see people who are Tesla Q or short sellers say, well, this car is outselling the Model 3 in this area, in this European country. Well, it's 20 grand, 20 grand or something like that. And with incentives, it's even cheaper. And then look at it. It's a cheap little plasticky car in the inside. And I'm like, when Tesla does it, it's going to be a cheap, affordable car, but it's going to look good. Like it's it, this is going to be it, when Tesla enters the compact market, it's going to obliterate the compact market. It's like when the legacy automakers in America, they've gotten out of the sedan market. The Teslas say, no, we're not going to make the Model 3 and Model S anymore. Nobody's buying sedans anymore. No.
Well, it's they're not going to compromise on the structure and strength either.
Yeah, it's like if the sedan sales were bottoming out that badly, I feel like the Model S would be suffering in sales numbers than it more than it is, and it isn't. It's still selling. Because it's, I mean, it's as big as an SUV. It's just not as high. It's just not as it doesn't have a ride quality like an SUV, but it's huge. It's a huge car, and like somebody was saying today in our chat room, oh, but people say a Model S for $80,000 car looks cheap in the inside. I'm like, what planet are you on? When you go and look inside a comparable German car, it's a limo. Like a 30,000 of it is in options like that do nothing to make the car drive or perform better. It just makes it look pretty and it makes you more comfortable inside. Yeah, Tesla could do that, but you could do it aftermarket. Like do I think the Model S is overpriced? I wouldn't say overpriced. I would say it's too expensive. I feel like there could be a cheaper version somewhere, maybe with a cheaper interior or something like that, more inexpensive
Yeah, that's the
interior.
Model 3.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's the Model 3, but I'm saying people like those big saloons, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I think
it's also
people
come down over
complaining
time.
about the go on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think people complaining about the like Tesla interior not being like fancy enough is like people buying an Apple Watch and complaining it's not a Rolex. I mean,
yeah. Exactly.
It's not meant to look like super high end fancy for like the richest of the richest. It's meant to be this minimalist, like happy like design that anyone can use like pretty easily. That's the point.
My favorite interior in a Tesla is the raw, the vegans aren't going to enjoy this, but the raw hide leather interior in the Roadsters, it's fucking gorgeous. That leather, that leather seat option should be an option in the Roadster. It's just the natural tan leather. It's gorgeous. It's one of my
like the cognac.
It's just that cognac brown khaki. It's gorgeous. And when they got rid of it and they stopped doing it, I was like, no, it's so beautiful. But we're running at 73 minutes. Do y'all have anything else y'all would like to add?
Maybe we'll just do some closing thoughts.
Yeah. I have one more question, though. On the have you any of y'all driven a Model X recently?
No, I drove one. That was my first car I drove, though. That was my
I've actually never car. Driven a Model X.
It's a fun car.
Somebody
I've was, seen a Model the, X, but I've never driven one.
Now, the people, now, does the model, you know, y'all have driven a Model S, possibly. Do they have adaptive lighting in them, or no? Like, you know, by adaptive lighting, I mean, like, they move with the steering wheel. Have y'all ever noticed that? I don't think so. All right.
I think the lights do move, but they don't, like, you can adjust the headlights, but it's not like what BMW has or something like that, where it actually follows your turning.
Yeah, because I was asking my friend who owns a Model X, and he was like, "I've never even seen the setting for adaptive lights. Like, I've seen adaptive high beams, but never like they move with the steering wheel or anything like that." But
well, why would you really need that? I mean, it seems to be efficient without it. It just seems like an extra.
It's like Audi has a really cool invention with their headlights, because like know how they have their string LEDs. What they do when it gets behind a car that might its headlights may be blinding, it turns off some of the LEDs and redirects the mirrors around. It redirects the mirrors so the light bounces around the car that's behind. And I was like, that would be really cool if Tesla came out with something like that, where like on the Cybertruck, when you look at that light, giant light bar, it's going to, I don't know how often y'all are in front of big trucks. They blind you with their headlights. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's going to happen with the Cybertruck with some people. It's like you're going to get up behind somebody and somebody's going to hate you because of that light bar. But
I feel like they'll probably make it pretty smart. It seems like it'll be adaptive, maybe color changing. And really able to focus the lights where it needs. They have some lights underneath the car too, it seems like.
Because I have a light bar on my car right now, and I use it for my high beam because I switched over from those LED lights, and the LED light conversion doesn't work on these kind of cars. And I don't get the middle finger or people flashing their headlights at me with the light bar, but it's like pointed down low. And I was just wondering what y'all thought on that. But yeah.
Well, even with my three, people will still high beam me if I haven't taken my high beams off. Yeah. Just because the newer style of headlights are like that. They're just so much more efficiently bright.
And that's the one thing I've always wondered. What's the difference between the Tesla headlights in Europe and like I heard Elon Musk complain about that once on the Third Row podcast. I was like, what is the difference? What's the regulation? Like, could you just make them all Tesla headlights fit to European spec and the US would be okay with it?
Well, they have to be different colors for one thing. That kind of thing. You know, in the US, brake lights are required to be red by law. In Europe, they're required to be orange.
No, they're still red. We just have the orange hazard lights on
front and
back. I don't think America has that all the time.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so I'm not sure exactly what the regulations are, but essentially they just conflict so much that it's a pain in the ass. And I think Europe actually has much better regulations than the US, but if you're trying to sell in both countries, it's just a pain in the ass to have to, I mean, you just need two different, you know, kinds of headlights. And you can imagine what kind of problems that creates.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's the benefit of having like a European and an American, like Chinese factories. Just build that local version.
That's going to make a big difference.
You just reminded me of the, what did y'all think of that leak shot of that Model Y sitting outside the Shanghai factory? Did it look smaller to y'all or was it just the camouflage?
Y'all I think remember? It's the camo makes things look more smaller profile and blend in, but that's my opinion.
Vincent told me he thought it was actually an imported US Model Y that they brought in for reference or something like that.
That's an interesting point. All right, but I would like for y'all to go through y'all's closing thoughts if y'all and take as long as y'all want, and K10 can go first.
Okay. I'm just excited for battery day. That's kind of what's on my mind. It kind of, but I don't know. I don't know if I have a whole lot to say. I think I said what I wanted to say, but Tesla's always exciting. There's always new things coming. Giga Berlin Design Center and Engineering Center. I think we're going to see a lot of fun paint colors come out of there. And I think, I mean, people are saying they think that that smaller, what, Tesla 2 or whatever little cars and it come out of China, but my personal take is it's going to be designed and coming out of Berlin.
Yeah, that's a good point because like when you even look at the Giga Berlin photos of the workers working inside the building, like they look like microscopic compared to that huge, these huge concrete pre-made, prefabricated buildings. But next closing thoughts from Omar.
My closing thoughts are that Nikola is the most absurd public company to ever be traded in the United States. And it's a very entertaining story. I recommend, you know, you follow Nikola Truth, follow Omar's blog, follow Kristen Netten, follow Alex and Jessica, and so many others who are doing great research on Nikola. It's just a really entertaining story. Tesla's doing really great things with battery day and autonomy. And for all the Tesla Q people who are listening, yes, everyone on this podcast was me. I'm a great impressionist. I have a UK impression, a Virginia impression, and I have millions of Twitter accounts. And anyone who's ever said anything bad about you, it's been me. That's all.
All right. Lewis.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, we're living in a Netflix documentary of Nikola. It's crazy to see it live. That's crazy. I mean, look down a few years' time, we're going to like see what's happening now. It's going to be like mad that we're experienced in that. And then Tesla, I'm so hyped for battery day. Actually, battery day is on my birthday, which is fucking amazing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Crazy coincidence.
We'll have to remember to wish you happy birthday.
Thanks.
Well, that's pretty cool. Pretty cool to be on your birthday. But
Elon's birthday gift for you.
How often do you see a Tesla in your community?
Did you ask me?
For me, I mean, I'm a
for Nikola Ghost.
Yeah, I'll go first. Yeah, I mean, I live in quite a wealthy town, so I see them like quite a lot. If I go to some other place, they're not there that often. But what I have noticed, which I like, is I used to see maybe one a day, like, up to three a day. Now I see like five a day, up to like six or seven a day. Wow! And I mean, that's only getting more.
You're seeing more than I am. I've seen more model. I see more Model X's than I do see any other Tesla. I do see a lot of Model 3s
but like they're the standard range or they're like the real performance and they have the track pack on it. Like it's the real extreme. It's either the most inexpensive version or the most expensive. It's real weird. And where I live at is like, cause you see the real nice Model X's, you do see the performance, like their performance Model X's. And I'm just like, I've never driven a performance model of the Teslas, and they just blow my mind. Even the dual motor one of the Tesla Model 3 blows my mind. And on my closing thoughts on Nikolai, I wish them best. I hope they succeed somewhat. I don't want them to fail. I hope they find a path that is green and helpful to everyone.
I think the company could potentially be salvaged without Trevor. You know, if they got Trevor out, they got some real executives and raised some more money.
It's possible.
Or even if Trevor stayed and he just became a hype man, or he is the hype man
already. That's the current situation.
Yeah.
You got to get rid of Trevor.
I mean, the problem is right now the company has no credibility. Right. Because, you know, regardless of what the details were, this whole stuff with them pushing the truck down the hill and all that, they've suffered a serious credibility hit. And anybody in the media who takes them seriously without questioning what they're saying now is just not doing their job, because so much of the evidence has come out. So they raised $700 million back. They gave $700 million to GM, and they're going to need more cash. Sooner or later, they're going to need more cash. And how do you raise more cash when you have such a serious credibility issue? So then the question becomes, okay, how do you address this credibility issue? Getting rid of Trevor is one of the best things I think you would do. Now, I don't know.
Or start producing their smaller vehicles and selling them on a limited basis. They have They have the Sea-Doo or Wave Runner. They have the side by side. They could ship a bike with Ultimate Tech from GM, an Ultimate GM dirt bike, in a year's time. And it wouldn't be that hard, because you can get the frame from any dirt bike manufacturer and strap a battery and one of their small motors on it, and you could have a product instantly with a Nikolai name on it. Even if they were selling solar like they did to Trevor's house, it would be something bringing money in.
Solar generates 100% of their revenue in the last quarter.
Yes.
and they should, and every exec and every person who makes over $100,000 that works at that company should be buying solar because from Nikola. Because
Trevor Milton's strategy for sales.
Well, somebody's loading up the stock, like somebody's buying the shares, because like 2 days ago I was seeing order numbers around 300. 200, 1,000, and after this report and all this bad news published. So somebody's propping up the stock. Who knows who it is? But
well, Trevor bought a bunch of stock by borrowing against his other stock. So, This is kind of a crazy, risky thing, because if the stock goes down,
people complain about the
If the stock goes down, you have to pay back the loan at face value plus interest, plus the stock you bought is also down. So
it's like a big, big margin call. It's a horrible margin call. And I do wonder what is the rate, because if he's borrowing from shares on pre-existing shares, there is a rate where he's borrowing this money from. They're going to say, well, if the share price drops below this certain thing, we're going to get our money out of this. Like we're not here to help you. We're here to make money and keep and do a business deal. We're not here to VC you. We're here to be profit drivers. We're not here just to loan you money after loan you money after loan you money. It's like Tesla pays back their debts. They don't, it's like people say, oh, why don't they just pay all their debts off at once? Well, it's actually smarter to get a loan on something. And if you have all this cash and you're a big corporation, a lot of a college near me does this. If they have $3 billion in the bank, it is easier for them to go to a local bank or a big bank and say, hey, can we borrow $1 million so we can build this new building? People say, well, they have this $3 billion. Why don't they spend it? That money is needed when times turn dark. Like, we're in one of those moments. We're very, very lucky that the coronavirus hasn't been as bad as we all think it would in the beginning. It's actually been a very small economic impact. Like, yes, there's been 8 million at the height. There was 20 million people unemployed, but people were still stimulating the economy. They were still buying.
Well, I think people are pumping a lot of money into the economy too, but whoever gave Trevor Milton that margin loan on his stock to buy more stock, they've got to be sweating a little bit. Like, those people are following the news. They're probably not following all of us, watching every detail.
Or they know what they did, and they're willing to burn a little bit of cash to say to this, just go, I made money quick off of this deal. And the fees and transfers, boom, like we could walk away. Mm-hmm. People will say, I believe in your mission and I believe in your mission statement. But really, when it comes down to the bottom line, people like to make money. Like, it's an awful thing to think of, but like, these people are going to want them to make products and sell them. I recommend they look at the products they can sell and make money off of. I truly hope they do so. But
let's say that field gets going and they actually put a building for manufacturing. What are they going to be manufacturing?
that's kind of what I was wish I could have gotten at. It's like, there is some work that does worry me. What are they going to be manufacturing? The dump trucks there?
No, the two and the tray. So the normal semi trucks.
Well, from, I think they're basically going to assemble the kits they get from Germany. You know, they're not really manufacturing. Yeah. It's more like manually assembling. Because in the US, we have this stupid chicken tax law from way back in the day when Europe started taxing our chickens, and now we tax trucks at 25%. So you can't import a truck from Europe, or you'll have to pay 25% tax on it. But you can import all the pieces and put them together in the US, and then it's an American truck.
So you can Tesla does a similar thing in the Netherlands, where they just ship like 99% assembled Model 3s to the Netherlands and then do the last bit. So technically it's a Netherlands Model 3 or whatever.
Didn't you write an article on that, the chicken thing?
Yeah, I did. It's pretty interesting.
But one thing that I've always wondered was, why are they using the fridge box? Why Nikolai has a great design studio, obviously. They can render.
And it's just to get it out. It's the only thing they can get out from an existing legacy design. It's just built on the Iveco platform, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, is that design of the normal semi, is that theirs? And I mean, obviously, they're suing Tesla because they're saying that the door patent or the door that they're using is very similar or whatever. And but I mean, it does kind of get to a point where, well, y'all are designing a hydrogen tank that's not cost efficient, and it's actually not aerodynamically efficient, and it's less safe than a normal semi. It's very confusing to me, because it's just like you could do all this design and get all this funding in the private markets, and still people will still be interested in this company. It's a shame that they're getting burned like they are, but they kind of dug the hole that they dug. But
Thank you for listening to Scott Pittity, the podcast. I want to thank Omar, Kristen, and Lewis for joining me today. Two errors in editing, the count in from five, and the end where I say, I do apologize to the listeners for that. This is my first time editing a full-length podcast. I hope you enjoyed it and you come back. I plan to release one every Wednesday and Friday. And I plan to release one right after Battery Day on 9/22. Y'all have a great night. And once again, thank you for listening.